Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Dr. John McIntosh of Kansas City Christian Faith Center. Welcome to our radio broadcast. Let's continue our teaching on the importance of faith. Let's open our Bibles to our foundational scripture we are using for this particular teaching, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 11. That's Hebrews chapter 11, and we will begin with verse number 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God, for he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The word impossible is a strong adjective used in this verse, which means not capable of being done, or happening. So if you do not have faith, there is no way you can please our Heavenly Father. Also, for the one who comes or approaches God must believe that God is who he says he is, and that God will reward those who diligently seek him. God is not looking for a lukewarm believer, but one who is consistent in their study of the word and our covenant promises that have been provided for us by our Savior and Lord Jesus the Christ. I believe that after you have received Christ as your Savior and Lord, that the most important thing you have to do is to learn how to walk by faith. It is the most single important thing you are going to have to learn to do. Now, this, as I said before, is my personal opinion. Yes, love is important, because the scripture tells us that God is love. Tithes and offering is important, and obedience to God's word is important. But in terms of priority, faith is number one. Again, I am not saying faith takes the place of those other subjects. I'm not saying that. But keep in mind, I am dealing with priority. You need to learn about faith before you learn about love, tithes and offerings, or obedience. The reason you need to learn how to walk by faith is because you are going to have to learn how to love people by faith. You are going to have to pay your tithes and give offerings by faith. And you are going to have to learn to be obedient to the word of God by faith. Amen? They just don't come automatically. Remember how you wanted as a child? You always wanted to please your father and mother by doing what was right and getting good grades in school. then you should understand how to walk by faith in order to please your Heavenly Father. Amen. Last week, I was discussing the difference between two words that many people, even believers, get confused with. They were faith and belief. Again, those two words are faith and belief. Many people believe they are the same, but they are different as Adam and Eve. Faith and belief are two sides of the same coin, but they are different. And I am going to give you a graphic illustration of what I mean. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment and imagine this illustration I am going to present to you. And after I have finished with the illustration, let's see if you can agree with my definition of faith and belief as I describe it in this illustration. You ready? So let's go. Let's say I just bought you a new automobile and I come by your house with the car. I park it in front of your house. I walk up to your front door, ring the doorbell, and you answer the door. I say, "Good afternoon, Mr. X. Here are the keys to your brand new automobile." You are so very happy, you can hardly wait to get the car. You grab the keys, you thank me, and you run out to the automobile. And you get right there in front of the automobile that's parked in front of your house. And once you get to the automobile, you say, "Car, these are the keys to your ignition. So let's go." But the car does not move. Now you believe that the keys that I have given you are the correct keys for the automobile. So you attempt to speak to the car again. You say, "Car, I have the keys to the ignition. Let's go." Again, the car does not move. Now I have a question for you. Why does the car not start? You believe that the keys that I had given you are the correct ones, but the car does not start up and move. The question is, why? Well, certainly the keys that I had given you are the correct keys, and you believe they are because you took them from me and went to the automobile to take it for a spin around the city with the car, but it did not respond to your commands. Why not? Well, everything Mr. X believed was absolutely, positively true. Everything Mr. X believed was true, but he had taken the keys and put them, if he had taken the keys and put them in the ignition and turned the key, the automobile would have started and he could have driven around the neighborhood showing his new car to all his neighbors. But he did not go anywhere because he failed to start the vehicle. The putting of the keys in the ignition and him starting the engine is the faith part. So, definition, faith is acting on what you believe. Faith is acting on what you believe. Now, you will not find this definition of faith in Vines or Strong's Concordance or any Greek dictionary. Faith is acting on what you believe. If you do not act on it, though you believe it's true, it would not change your circumstances. The man could not go anywhere in his car. It just stayed parked in front of his house. Yet, you could not find one thing wrong with his believing. Everything he believed was absolutely true. He took the keys from my hands. He believed these keys were the correct keys to this automobile, and they were. But because he did not get in the car, put the keys in the ignition, and start the engine, nothing happened. It was just belief. The faith was him putting the keys in the ignition and starting the car. So faith is acting on what you believe. But he did not do that, so it did him no good. You know why? Because he did not act on it. Faith is acting on what you believe. Believing will never change your circumstances. Let me repeat that. Believing will never change your circumstances, but faith will change your circumstances. And faith is acting on what you believe. Believing is where you start. You have to have a starting point, and belief is that starting point. But if all you do is believe, there will be no life-changing results forthcoming. That is why so many Christians throughout the years have been destroyed by Satan. They believe God can heal, and yet they are dying like flies. Their belief is right, but they fail to get the victory because they never act on the word. Mr. X never put the keys in the ignition of the car that was right in front of him, and he never went anywhere. Why? Because he never put the keys in the ignition to start the car. He never acted on his belief. His belief was dormant. He would not go anywhere. You are not going to get healed because God can heal. Let me repeat that. You are not going to get healed because God can heal. You have to find out what it takes to get God's can into God's will. Did you understand that? It says you have to find out what it takes to get God's can into God's will. Amen. Faith is an action word. Now turn with me, please, to the book of James. Again, that's the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. You there? You follow, and I will read. We're going to begin with verse 21. And it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a believer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. So you must not only be a hearer of the word, but you must be a doer of the word. Those who do the word are the ones who will get the results and be blessed in God's word. Believing is where you start. You have to have some starting point, and believing is where you start. But if that is where you stop, you will get nothing for the believing. It's just like if you're in a race and you're running the 100-yard dash, and everybody starts out at the starting line, and the starter shoots the gun, and everybody takes off but you. Well, you're never going to win a race if you don't start or begin to run. But you have to start somewhere, and you have to start at the beginning. So belief is where you're going to start. But if that's where you stop and that's where you stay, you will get nothing for the believing. Can you understand that? Do you see what I'm trying to explain to you? It is so important to know and to understand the difference. And sadly, a lot of Christians don't understand that. And consequently, they are not winning in life. And they're getting beat up, beat down by Satan and all his demonic demons. Your faith requires action. Now open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. That's Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse 31 through 33. And it says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Amen. Now let's focus on the first part of verse 32. It says, "For all these things the Gentile seek." Now the word seek, you cannot seek anything by sitting in a room believing something. Seek is an overt action, not a thought, idea, or suggestion. In fact, seek in this context means to seek of coveting, earnest, or striving after to diligently pursue. Let me repeat that. In fact, seek in this context means the sense of coveting earnestly or striving after to diligently pursue. So seek, you have to diligently pursue or earnestly coveting something to strive after. To seek, you would have to do something. Then Jesus caps it off in the 33rd verse saying, "But seek first the kingdom of God." Seek first the kingdom of God. That is not just believing the kingdom of God. That is doing something about the kingdom of God. He said, "Seek it and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Because if you seek the kingdom first, you are going to find out how to get all the other things that the Gentiles are seeking after. And you will have to do something in order to get it. There is action implied to this faith. It says, "Oh, you of little faith." He said, "Seek first the kingdom." That is action. Open, active on your part. That is not sitting in a room believing the kingdom exists. You have to seek it. You have to do something. That is action. Faith is acting on what you believe. Now let's look at some scriptures that will show that action is involved in what you do or what you believe. And we're going to look at these scriptures and we're going to see action in works. So let's go to Matthew chapter 8, the book of Matthew chapter 8. Okay, when you're there, say amen. All right, we're going to begin with verse number 5. You follow and I will read. Very familiar passage. There's a lot of good teachings on this particular passage, but we're going to read it now on our teaching on faith and action. Matthew 8, beginning with 5. It says, "Now when Jesus has entered Capernaum, centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Authority must be exercised. So the key word here in this particular verse is great faith. Jesus says great faith. Now think with me for a moment as to how that faith was activated: by doing something, not by believing something. Because even if you had been given authority, you must still have action. The centurion said, "I have generals over me." Maybe he was a colonel, captain, or whatever, and I have privates under me. I tell one to go, and he goes. I tell another to come, and he comes. That's action. When you tell somebody to do something and they do it, that's action. Authority, remember, has to be exercised. You cannot sit in an office with authority and just think. You have to actually do something. You have to say something, do something, write something, or send something before any of your soldiers will be followed, or any of your orders, excuse me, will be followed. That is action. It is not just believing something. You have to act. If you have authority, you have to exercise it, or else the authority will do you no good. The centurion recognized that with Jesus. He recognized that Jesus was a man of authority. Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." The centurion said, "I am not worthy that you come. Just speak the word." Because your word is spoken is the same as you coming. That centurion recognized the authority of Jesus' word. He just said his word spoken is just like Jesus being there. Amen. You do not have to come, just speak the word. "I am a man under authority, and I understand authority." That centurion understood authority. And so he just told Jesus to speak the word. "And I know my servant will be healed." Amen. That's confidence in the word of God. "When I speak to one of my soldiers and I tell them to go, he goes. When I tell him to come, he comes. When I tell him to do something, he does." And I'm paraphrasing that particular part of the scripture. In great faith, action is involved. Jesus says, "I have not seen such great faith, not even in Israel." Great faith was demonstrated by what that man, the centurion, said about his authority to command someone to go and to come and to do. So faith was activated by someone doing something, not just believing something. If the man had just believed that Jesus could do something and just never come to Jesus and appeal to him, his servant would have never been healed. And yet, what he believed about Jesus would have been true, but it would never have affected his servant. Are you following this? Now, let's look at another passage of scripture. in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, and we're going to begin with verse 23 to 26. And it says, "Now when Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him, awoke him, and said, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? O you of little faith.'" Now, if faith was just believing that the storm would stop and go away, that would be all they would have to do, just believe. Notice the last part of verse 26. He said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Well, my time is just about over, but please join us again next week as we will continue our teaching on the importance of faith. And remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.